don't do that until you know for sure.
They just freaked out and were like, this is what we're doing. I'm like, no.
Welcome to What in the Wedding, a wedding planning podcast where we help you expect the expected.
That's right. We said expect the... I completely messed up. We're going to start over.
Welcome to What in the Wedding, a wedding planning podcast where we help you expect the expected.
No! I'm used to you having the intro and the episodes, and I'm like, wait, it's not there. See, master.
I'm leaving it all in because Ashley is pregnant and her brain doesn't work. That's right. We said expect the expected because while you probably don't have a lot of experience in weddings, we do.
We do.
So sit back, relax, and listen to us talk all things weddings.
All things weddings. Look at that. You think I would have that memorized, but I do not. And I used to be an actress, so that's terrible.
I'm telling you, it's the pregnancy brain, and I'm leaving that in there because this – now people won't think I was being rude.
I was like, we got to redo this.
Guiding you. Okay, today in What in a Wedding, we are going to discuss hiring a wedding photographer. Things to consider.
Woohoo. This is going to be a good one.
No, red flags, which are our favorite, green flags, you name it. But first, I just realized that while we are telling people that we need to go to Instagram and have them give their feedback, they did give their feedback and then I never shared it. So I posted a couple weeks ago, I posted a survey after we had talked about like vendor dress and, you know, like hiring vendors and professionalism and all the things. And I posted a survey and asked them if it mattered. And I was actually surprised that 62% of our followers said that it doesn't really matter. Attire should be professional, but it does not really matter. 5%,
I love that.
Yeah, said nope, doesn't matter at all. And 33% of people said it absolutely does matter. So the majority said that in some way it matters. I'm not really surprised by that.
It matters.
It matters.
No, not me either, because you're hiring someone to do a service. Right. So like if my hairstylist showed up and she was like in a ball gown and like rushing through what she needed to do with my hair, I'd be like, excuse me, like what's happening? Do you have somewhere to be? Like, I don't know what's happening. Like they want to see you actually fit what what your role is.
Agreed.
I get that.
Agreed. You cool with us skipping news stories this episode? Because I feel like I'm going to have a lot to say.
We can do it. Let's do it.
All right. We're going to skip that.
This is going to be a long-winded episode.
It is. It is. But I do have a wedding womp that I want to share that I promised from another episode. So let's do wedding wins and womps. Okay. So my womp that I promised was from a wedding last year.
Yes.
And it was about the cake not being out.
His hair.
And me getting in trouble for it. And it's not.
Yes, I remember you telling me this. And I'm like, what is
so no planner at this wedding. Knew the couple very well. Great vibe at the wedding, got along with everyone. Everything was going great. Like I was very comfortable with these people. So the reception rolls around and I don't know how we missed it because usually when we go into the reception, we go straight to the cake table because the cake, as you know, is like one of the last things that gets put out. So it's one of the last things that I photograph like right before we go into reception. So we go into reception. I don't know what had happened that like we didn't realize it at that point, but we got through introductions, we got through speeches, I'm pretty sure we even got through dinner, and at that point my assistant came up to me because she had realized that we hadn't photographed the cake yet, and she said, Hannah, the cake's not out. I said, what do you mean the cake's not out? She's like, there's no cake there. I'm like, well, the DJ said we were cutting cake, but are we sure like they're doing cake? Because you know some couples have opted out and done pies or like just
some people don't have cake.
Yeah, they just don't want it. So she's like, nope, there's a cake stand and there's a cake topper. And I thought, yeah, you're right, because I had actually taken a picture of it laying there because I always do that. It's my insurance policy. Why didn't you get the cake? Well, it wasn't out. But I did get the cake topper laying on the table type of thing. So I was like, well, no problem. They didn't have a planner. And I was like, they probably just like completely forgot. It's probably in the back. So me being very comfortable with the family – I would have done this even if I hadn't been comfortable with the family.
Keyword, they didn't have a planner. Okay, go ahead.
Could you have gotten any closer to that microphone?
No. Yeah. No, not at all. No, I'm just saying the planner would have been like, yeah, there's no cake
so
here.
So I just like went up to the moms and I found one of the moms and I said, hey, just so you know, cake's not out. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, the cake. And I pointed at the table. I'm like, the cake's not out. And she's like, okay.
The cake.
I said, well, they're cutting the cake, right? And she's like, yeah. I'm like,
so we're doing a fake cake, I said, an imaginary cake.
The cake's not out. And now I know it was after dinner. I know it was after dinner now because I remember thinking, like, it's next on the list. The DJ told me, because you know I go to the DJ and I get the schedule for the day. And
yes.
I was like, well, they're going to cut the cake. And she's like, okay. I said, well, and like at this point, I'm trying to be very professional and I'm trying to like not be rude. But it's also like, if they're going to cut the cake, I don't want them to walk up to the cake table. Everyone's staring at them because the DJ has announced it and there's no cake. So I went over to the DJ and I said, hey, don't announce cake cutting because there's no cake. And he's like, what do you mean there's no cake? I said, well, there's a cake somewhere, but it's not out and no one is.
But it's not here.
No one's in a hurry to get it out. He's like, well, can you go find out? And I'm like, well, I've already done that. But yeah, I'll try again. So I went up to the mom again and again, professionalism. And I said, hey, I went and checked with the DJ and he is scheduling and planning to announce them for cake cutting and pretty soon. So where is the cake? Do you think that we could, you know, get it out? And she's like,
oh, we need the cake.
I will go find someone to get the cake out. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And again, for listeners, like, I don't care if the cake is out or not, but I know my couple, A,
it's just on the schedule.
Wants a photo of it. And B, if they're going to cut the cake needs to be out. So she goes and gets the other mom. Yes. Practically drags the other mom to me, like in a huff, and says, we need to get the cake out because the photographer wants it out. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, whoa. I said, if you don't want to get the cake out, it's no problem. I just thought that maybe, you know, so-and-so would want it out since they're going to cut it. And I was like, I didn't know what else to say.
And if anyone has a cake from the beginning of time, that cake is out from the moment your guests walk in the room. It's there usually, unless it's a specialty cake that has to stay in a refrigeration state until you're about to cut it.
So then the best part, so I thought like at this point, like I am dialing back. Like I am not saying another word, cake or not. Like I'm the photographer. And those are the moments where I'm like, it's technically not even like my job to make sure the cake is out. But I'm just like, I'm a helper and I'm trying to help my couple. But at this point, like I can feel the tension and I'm not pushing the issue anymore. Like I've asked twice, if there's no cake, there's no cake. I don't know what to do, but I definitely.
There's no cake. We're not doing it.
I don't want to upset anyone. So then I'm like hovering because they did get the cake out and they're putting the cake on the table and I'm hovering because I'm like, okay, I got to get a picture as soon as they're done. And then the DJ's probably going to call the couple over because now we're a little bit behind because the cake was not out. So I kid you not.
Correct.
I'm standing there and they're like trying to decide where the cake topper is going to go. And they turn to me and they're like, I don't know. Ask the photographer. Maybe she'll put it on. She's the one that wants it out. And I'm like, why is this my fault?
Is this when you bow out gracefully? Yeah. You're like, you know what?
And in my head, you know, I'm smiling and I'm like, oh, you know, go ahead. Just put it in the middle. And I played my card. I was like, I want to get a picture of you putting the cake topper on. Because at this point, I'm like, if something happens to this cake, it's already my fault. I'm not touching it. But they got the cake out. They got the topper on. I got the photos, and they did cut cake. But man, it's still like months and months and months later. I'm still scratching my head.
The biggest womp.
How is this my fault?
It's very confusing.
I'm still confused. I don't understand.
So did they make the cake? Did they make the cake, or did they get it from a bakery?
I don't know. I never.
Do you know this info? Because it makes me think they had something to do with this cake.
I don't know.
That they were just like, ugh, like, I guess we have to do cake. And I'm like, I just don't understand why the delay. You know what I mean? It's just so interesting.
And why they were so upset that I was asking them to get it out.
Right. Like, this is you want this moment. I'm going to be honest. In my planning meetings, the moms are the most intense about the cutting of the cake. It's never the couple. It is always almost 90%. parents because they are stuck in tradition.
Yeah.
So they're like, wait a minute, we need to cut this cake. So it's very interesting.
Maybe there was – I mean, there was a lot of alcohol involved at this wedding. Maybe they – I don't know. Maybe I was like a buzzkill. I'm not sure. It was a great wedding.
You were the old buzzkill.
But I'm still like, what? What? I just am trying to make sure there is. So, can you imagine what? I mean, you know what would happen because it happens. The DJ is like, okay, everyone go over to the table and cut the cake. The couple goes over, everyone is watching them, and there is no cake. It creates a really awkward moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my favorite probably is they had Christmas dinner and they were like, can you believe that photographer, your wedding photographer, Hannah, like why she would ask us to get the cake out? Why would that happen?
I don't know.
And that was the Christmas dinner conversation
I don't know.
they had about you.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like Christmas wedding. I was like, this wasn't a Christmas wedding. What are you talking – I see. You're talking about at their Christmas dinner away from the wedding. They're still talking about the fact that Hannah Barlow, the photographer, forced them to get the cake out to cut it. I don't understand.
I don't understand either. That is one of life's great mysteries.
I can't.
Oh, it's a great mystery of weddings.
All right. Should we take it away? Hiring a photographer. Let's do this.
Let's do it. This is your time to shine.
Oh, boy. I'm going to upset.
Tell me all the things.
I'm going to upset a lot of people today. So.
I just love that you say in your notes, haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate. Oh, I forget. Why did I tell you that? There's room for everyone. Oh, yeah. Let's just start out there. So haters going to hate. I truly believe. There is room for all kinds of photographers, the new photographers, the veteran photographers. I don't ever want to say cheap, the budget photographers, the $500 photographers, the $20,000 photographers. There are enough weddings and there are enough people with different kinds of budgets and needs that there is room for everyone, that not every photographer should charge at the same price point.
Correct. I love that because that's true in any vendors. Yeah, mic drop. Yeah.
I think, you know, in a couple episodes, we are going to be recording with JT, videographer JT. And I think, I think that there's always a question and you get a lot too. Do you need a videographer? Yes or no? You know, like,
right. I never get a question. Do you need a photographer?
That's where I was going with this. So do you need a photographer at your wedding? Well, you need someone to take pictures, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that there's ever a situation at a wedding where you wouldn't want photographic memories of that. Now, do you want someone taking photos with an iPhone? People do it. And again, haters gonna hate. That's what I put on the script because people are gonna be like, you let Aunt Sally with her iPhone? Well, maybe you could not afford.
That's what they wanted. Yeah,
and they just wanted the memories. Right. I mean, the majority of people anymore use their iPhones or their Androids as their primary cameras. People are probably like, where is this going? She's saying it's okay to do a wedding with an iPhone. That is an extreme case.
Hannah's like, this is where I say, no, don't hire a wedding photographer.
So do you need a wedding photographer? Yes. I think that if you're going to put a significant amount of money into your budget, you need a photographer that at least has what people call a fancy camera, which is a DSLR or a mirrorless camera. A camera that's capable of taking pictures that you can edit, which, yes, I know. You can edit iPhone photos, but... You know what I'm getting at here. Maybe there's a $500 photographer. I mean,
it's not the same quality.
Right. I mean, my very first wedding that I ever did was a $500 wedding as my AirPod falls. That'll go in the bloopers. My AirPod. We got to talk about these AirPods. Maybe I have weird ears, but I can't get them to ever stay in. Okay. That's off topic.
Wait, do you have the new ones where they have the little spongy part in them?
No, I don't. I don't know. I've never loved my AirPods, but anyhow.
Maybe you need the...
Yeah. Okay. $500 for my very first wedding, but I was also brand new. I had no photography experience under my belt. I am still very proud of those photos, and I will show them if anyone wants to see them. I know a lot of photographers will hide their original work because it's not good. I mean, my original work before I did weddings was bad. I wouldn't share those. But my first wedding... I'd share them. They're nothing compared to what I do now. But the couple at the time didn't have a big budget. Right. They were willing to take a chance on me because they knew me and my personality and my like need to like do things a certain way would probably outshine my lack of experience. And I did spend a year and a half learning photography. I went into it with two cameras. I rented one. I had another one. I didn't know flash the way that I know it now, but the pictures, you know, still turned out. So you can get decent photos out of a budget-friendly photographer. So haters gonna hate. I increased my prices as I went, and now I cost what I do because I have a decade of experience. I offer an experience on the wedding day. Any wedding portfolio gallery that you look through is consistent. Like, regardless of whether it was a church basement or it was a high-end wedding venue, they're all consistent. I can create a consistent product no matter where we are at. That's what you need to look for.
I guess that's a good point you just said, because you're like, they're getting the expertise, the experience, the consistency of my work. But I think that's a big part of where you said, like, my work, what I bring. Mm-hmm. Every photographer has their own personality, yes. What they bring to the wedding day. You go over the top, over and above. And that's why people continue to hire you and you're successful, because they're like, I know that Hannah is going to do whatever she can to make sure, A, she might get a shot that, like, was hard to get, or that she's like, I forgot my bouquet and Hannah's running back to the room to like go get it.
Yeah, that type of thing.
That's a big selling point.
Where other people, you know, when you're looking for photographers, what do we always say? What are your expectations? There are photographers that don't offer a day of experience, but they offer very high end, technically perfect, would win any kind of international photography contest type of photos. But you know, on the wedding day, they don't hold your hand. They don't run for bouquets. You know, they just, you know, set up for maybe you only get like 10 posed photos, because the technicality of getting those type of Pinterest styled shoot, technically correct, award-winning photos takes a long time.
Oh, for sure.
So I think you need to set yourself up when you hire a photographer. What are you wanting out of your photos? First of all, style. When you look up a photographer, you, as soon as you lay eyes on their photos, you need to love them. Before you do any other research, you need to open their website, open their Instagram, and be like, wow, I love the vibe.
Yeah, like this
work. I love the colors. This is beautiful. And then you do a deeper dive, because we've talked about it before. There are a lot of people who love me and love my experience, and they want to hire me, but they do not want bright, colorful, poppy photos. They want dark and moody, trendy, very stylistic, like no smiles in their photos. And I can't produce that. And it sucks, because like they really want me, the person, but they don't love my photos. And that's fine. And I've told people that before, because I've had people say, can you edit them? Like, we want to hire you because we've done lots of weddings with you. Like, I've been a bridesmaid or a sister, but like, I want the dark and moody look. I cannot produce that. I can't. It all goes into the way we shoot on the day of the wedding, and it would go against everything that I've worked for the last 10 years to get a certain style. I honestly don't know. Like, even we should do that just for fun. I should go out with the intentions of creating dark and moody photos and see if I could do it. But I wouldn't love it. Like,
maternity photo shoot. Yeah, you wouldn't love it. You wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but your wedding photographer was very like
dark and moody.
Not Carrie's not dark and moody. Yours, your wedding.
Oh, no. Mine was very light. I like really light photos.
Okay, I was going to say, why would you want?
I like dark and dramatic for other events. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. There are photographers that I follow that I'm like, if I could just do dark and moody, because their photos are stunning. But I just not. It.
Yeah, James Carl, one of them. I love his dark and moody. He's one of my favorites. Yeah,
and I follow him and comment and all his stuff, but I cannot produce that. It's not in my heart. It's not in my way of doing things. Where on the flip side, if you are looking for colors that are true to life, colors that are bright and beautiful, and you go on a dark and moody photographer's site and everything has an orange tone and is dark, they're not going to be able to give you what you want. So, number one, fall in love with their photos. Make sure they're what you like. Maybe make a list of photographers that when you pull up their Instagram or their website that you're like, yes, scroll. There's not a photo on there that you see that you don't love. If you open up a photographer's site and it's all of the same, like you fall in love with the top of their feed or the top of their website, but it's all the same couple in the same wedding, that's a red flag. You need to be able to see variety. Yeah,
they should have multiple weddings. Yeah.
Right. Or it's a styled shoot. And styled shoots are a lot easier to photograph than a real life wedding. After you find the photographers, make a list of the photographers that you just love their work and it's beautiful. Then I think you should start looking at price point. Right? Like, can you even afford them before you reach out? What do you think about that? What do you think the next step should be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Budget is number one, especially moving into – we're into 2024 and 2025 – like budget, I can't even express because I see the couples really early on. Budget is becoming a big thing. And so you got to, number one, make sure you can afford them. Or if you're like, oh, I really can't afford them, but if I really connect with them, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to ask mom and dad for an extra or grandma or whoever. I can't hear you.
I know. Why do I do that?
We do the same thing. Like if my dogs start barking, I'm put on mute. Like okay. We're just mute
queens. I was
queens.
Just saying yes, right, correct. Yes, right, correct. That's all I was doing. But I, this day and age.
You don't want to waste your time or their time.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you're going to have photographers that put no pricing on there. I have starts at, and then there's other photographers that just put everything on there. So I would, you know, if they have starts at, and that always kind of confuses me because I have people that reach out and they're like, what are your prices? And I tell them it starts at, which was right on the form they filled out. And they're like, oh, sorry, I can't afford you, which is fine. But I'm like, you knew this. You knew this. I told you this on my website.
You knew this. Yes.
there's other ones that just put like all their pricing and everything that's included. And they're the ones that like they want you to know up front. So, you know, you have to love their work. Now let's make sure they're in your budget. Then maybe do a deep dive into who they are. Do you vibe with their website? I am one that if someone's using curse words and like slang, like that doesn't vibe with me. I'm not one, like I use curse words in my life, but I don't use them publicly at weddings on my website. And I think if someone's putting curse words on their website, they're probably going to speak that way on a wedding day. And I had five grandmas at my wedding. They would have died.
Yes.
But that might vibe with you. No, you know, there's other people that would be like, yeah, they're the vibe. Like, this is going to fit in with our group. Like, yes. So I think vibe with them. I've noticed that a lot of people have been reading my bio because a lot of people recently have mentioned that I'm a military wife. And like, oh, well, my husband's, you know, a veteran or this or that. Or my husband-to-be is a veteran. I just had someone yesterday email me and say, I saw that you're a military wife. My husband was in the – or my husband-to-be was in the Marines. I'm like, huh, people are reading bios right now. That's interesting. I like it.
That is interesting.
Because it's nice that people are reading, you know, the stuff, all the words that I put on my website that people say no one's going to read. So that's nice to know. Reach out, right? Do you think they need to meet with them?
Yes.
Are you a, you should meet with the person before handing them this money?
Yes. Yeah? Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. You need to see this person is literally with you on your whole day. Like in the morning until literally late at night, usually. You want to make sure that you connect with them, you feel comfortable with them, and you can tell right in the first 10 minutes if you definitely vibe with someone. Right. And then I think it's just good to make sure they can give you everything that you're looking for on your day.
Would you be surprised to know that the majority of people who book me don't meet with me and just talk to me in email?
Oh, I believe that for a fact because I get that sometimes too. Yeah, I majority surprises me, but I'm not like too surprised because it makes sense because you're a very big presence online. Aww. So I feel like people feel like they know you just from going onto your social media and being like, okay, I understand who Hannah is and I love her work. So I'm just going to meet with her later. Like I get
My emails are also very long. Again,
they're like, hi, I'm reading a book.
I'm shocked that people read it, but a lot of the times people are like, thank you. Like most people say, thank you for getting back to me so quickly. I'm like, well, this is my full-time gig. So I very much treat it like a 9-to-5. I might not have my butt in my chair 9-to-5, but like I'm checking my email every couple of hours between 8 and 4 usually. And before I quote unquote leave the office, shut my computer down for the day, I check my email one last time. So I almost always get back to people right away. So that I think is telling. But I give them all the details. Sometimes I show photo examples. They're like, oh, well, have you done a wedding here? I'm like, yeah, not only have I done a wedding here, but hey, check out this blog or check out this photo collage. Or they, you know, they're like, what does it look like in December? Well, I actually did a wedding there in December. Let me show you, type of thing. So I think that it's not just a matter of like, hi, these are my prices. Please book me. That's my business strategy.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Smart. I mean, I'm the same way. I think the faster that you are in getting back to mm-hmm. people shows your yes. dedication.
Well,
not only to them, yeah. but like to your business.
Well, I mean, I remember when I was new, like I even checked my email at night. Like I would, you know, I was desperate to start booking and getting, you know, my name out there. But a lot of people told me that the reason they were willing, because I joke with him and I'm like, why did you hire me as a brand new photographer? Like, you really took a chance. I don't know if I would have had that kind of trust. Like, thank you. But like, that's wild. And they were like, honestly, you were the only one that like consistently called us back or got back to us. And
wow. Yeah.
And honestly, like we tried to hire – when I bought my studio in 2018, I tried to hire an electrician. My dad is an electrician, but I didn't want to like – he was already going to do the floors and stuff. So I was like, you know what, Dad, I will hire some of this other stuff out. I swear I called every electrician in the tri-state area and only two called me back. And I was like, okay, I see what people That's mean. Wild. Like if you can call me back, take my money.
Like, yes. Yeah, so if you can call me back, you're hired.
And it was yeah, the same thing wild. With a sign company. When I was trying to get a sign outside my studio, there's not very many sign companies around, so I called and emailed every single one of them. One called me back, so you're hired. Literally, one called me back. That was the only person I could get, so it honestly did not matter what they cost. They were the only ones I could get to call me back. So I understood after the fact what those people meant. They hired me because I was the one that consistently yeah. got back to them, so they trusted me to show up and do a decent job, which is wild.
Absolutely. Trust is a big thing. Yeah. It's not even wild because trust is such a big thing yeah. on your wedding day. So I get that they're like, okay, I already trust this person. She's got the old cough today. She's on mute again. This is my favorite.
For the love
hey,
of
Hey, girl. Hey.
I'm shocked.
I didn't know the intro. Oh, going to be on mute. And this is your shining moment.
You guys should know that Ashley is a morning person and I am not. She drags me out of bed to get started with these by 8 a.m., which means I have to – am I – oh, I can't. Okay. But, no, I was – so
I have to drive to Pittsburgh at 5 in the morning.
I can't stand it. No, rough. You all need to know I have terrible allergies. I've told you all year long and I just – this is me. I don't know. I can't fix it. Okay. So we're falling in love with the colors, the vibe, the feel. You have picked the photographers for your budget. You have reached out. Now, maybe you're going to interview them. Maybe you are going to not interview them. I think with the amount of photographers that are out there that you definitely need to interview them. Why? Well, because there's a lot of things that go into it. I think that you should be asking them, do they bring – like what happens if your camera breaks? Do you bring backup equipment? I know that – your face.
What? Yeah.
I
just did that because – whatever it breaks. Because I'm sitting there thinking about all of this, like how much it must be on their brain that they're like, oh my gosh, like – like they have to go through photographer after photographer after photographer. Some just know, but like they, because yeah. they've already done some research. Yeah. But I just sit here and think about all the things they have to think about for a photographer. It's just, yeah. and we're not even halfway yeah. through.
And again, like I just,
sorry,
no, it's fine. It, I'm probably going to, that's why I said it's going to be an episode because I'm going to scare people. I know I'm going to scare people, but there are so many photographers out
they're
gonna there.
They're going to be like, I can't do this.
I know there are, look at me, Froggy. There are so many photographers out there. People are like, how do I narrow it down? How do I know who to choose? A lot of people get overwhelmed with that because, I mean, 5 years ago, you know, there were photographers popping up everywhere. Everyone got a camera for Christmas.
They were like, I am a photographer. And you're like, no, ma'am.
No, you are not. No, you ma'am. You have one camera and one lens. What happens? I mean, I've walked down pews before. And like a little kid sticks their hand out and grabs my lens. I had one family that like were kindly trying to move my stuff off the pew, which I had had sitting there reserved, actually, because it was at a Catholic church and I needed somewhere to sit, not to be lazy, but because the priest asked that I not stand the whole time. And when they moved it off, one of my lenses wasn't attached to my camera because it was sitting there. It rolled off and hit the ground, the stone ground, and the lens cap went flying. And like Uncle Joe grabbed the lens cap and they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But I didn't even use that lens for the rest of the day because it was like there was like a ting in the inside of it when I shook it. I'm like, something is not right. So we're just not going to use this one. But had that been, and you know, it was fine. I told them, I said, it is fine. It's fine. I sent it off. It was repaired. It was fine. That's what insurance is for. Another thing that you should ask your photographers about. Yes. Do you have insurance? I am really firm on not only do you need a business license, unless you live in a state that allows you to collect so much money like West Virginia, you can collect up to $600 in a whole year without a business license as long as you claim it. But if they don't have an insurance policy, they might not have a business. I don't know. I have talked to some vendors that are like, you have an insurance policy? And I'm like, yeah, an operating business should have an insurance policy. You know the vendor too. I'll have to tell you later who it is. And they were like, well, this venue asked for a copy of my insurance policy and I don't have one. So I couldn't do the wedding. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of venues ask for that.
Yeah, you right. They do.
I don't know. That's always wild to me.
That's crazy. If you're, you have to cover yourself.
And I don't want you. That's why this is like such a fun interviewing photographers. You're like, what equipment do you use? Do you have an insurance policy? Some photographers would be like, these clients are crazy. We're not hiring them. But I also feel like if that's the photographer that's going to be turned off by those kind of questions, red flag.
Then you don't want to hire them anyway. Red flag. Sorry.
I mean, any.
I'm sorry to be that person.
Any legit business is going to have enough equipment to cover disasters and catastrophes, and they're going to have an insurance policy which will pay for the catastrophes. I don't know.
Yes. Yes and yes.
You know, I would ask them, and this is cases when you're really on the fence. you're not sure. You really are on the fence about which photographer to hire. Maybe you're down to two. Ask them like what they do to protect your images. What do they do to back them up? Again, like if they hesitate or they find this question offensive, I question their professionalism and I question the safety of your wedding images, because on a weekly basis, I can go into photography groups and have a photographer panicking, I've lost this wedding. What do I do? Whether it be
– which is wild to me.
I mean, yes. Back at the beginning of this podcast, we read that one about the Denver airport where the photographer said her camera got stolen. Never have seen a follow-up about that. And I have looked. I don't think anything ever is going to happen with it. I don't think we're ever going to hear from anyone.
So sad.
There are photographers –
so sad
that clear cards and they overwrite them and they thought that they put the card. This happens all the time. They're like, I thought I uploaded the cards to my computer. They're not there. I can't find the wedding images. What do I do? And everyone's like, get the cards out and re-upload them. And they're like, I can't. I cleared them. I needed them for the next wedding. And that's where the arguments ensue, where the professionals are like, why would you only have one set of cards? Well, I do 4 to 5 weddings a month. And they're like, then you should have a set of cards for each wedding until you can deliver the images. Yes. Then they're like, oh, a set of cards costs $200. There goes that earpod again. And it's like, oh my God. And it's like, okay, well, if you're doing 4 and 5 weddings a month, why can't you afford to buy cards for each wedding? And then again, the arguments ensue. And then it's like, well, like I said, there was one photographer. It was like the toddler got a hold of my hard drive and broke it. And now I don't have photos. Okay. Again, where are your cards? Like your hard drive got broke. Re-upload your cards. And it's just weekly.
Where's the cards?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm in the mood to read all of the arguments. And sometimes I'm like, this is stupid. There's no excuse for this. Move on.
No. Yes. Sorry. I feel the same. No excuse.
I know. It's just, that's what, those are the things that, I don't know. They just, what's the, they just.
It would give me the worst fear, and I have no idea about photography. If I wiped my card, I would have instant panic.
Right.
that like I would lose those photos somehow. I just would never do it. I couldn't do it. Every wedding gets a card.
Right. Here and you go. Two cards. Your camera should have the ability to write twice.
There you go. You need two.
And if you can't do that, we've talked about it, have a backup camera and just shoot on both cameras all day long. Or maybe your second shooter has their own. You know, you should always have something because technology fails. I had a hard drive the other day, my 2022 hard drive. Don't panic, couples. My 2022 hard drive, I was plugging in my 2024 hard drives to get them up and ready to go for backups. And I like just like bumped the 2022 and it fell on its side. It won't remount. I don't know what, I broke something on the inside, but it is okay because I have a secondary 2022 hard drive. So nothing is lost. And those couples have their photos anyways. And contractually, it says that once I deliver them to you, it is your responsibility to archive them and back them up. And I don't guarantee archival and all the legality stuff. So they all have their photos. Nothing was lost. I have a backup hard drive. But my point is, like, after 10 years, I knew it was going to happen eventually. I've never had a hard drive. Like, fail. It's dead. It's not coming back to life.
Yeah, it's bound to happen. Yeah. It's not coming back. It's in the graveyard.
And then I don't clear my cards until the couple's like, hey, saw the photos. They're beautiful. Thank you. They have confirmed they have received them. They have their products. I make sure everything is backed up on both my backup drives. Then I clear cards for the next wedding. Just because, like you said, it's
okay. That makes sense.
And you know, there's the new
can't.
No, there's newer photographers. The program most photographers edit in is Lightroom. And anyone who doesn't understand photography, including me when I was new, thinks Photoshop. Everyone edits in Photoshop. That's not the case. When I was brand new and proof that experience is everything, I thought the same. I'm like, photographers edit in Photoshop. So I downloaded Photoshop and everyone asks me because I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but I offer third party editing services, meaning other photographers send me photos and I do the extensive Photoshop edits for them, but I'm not named. So when they say, oh, I'll send these to my third party editor, because a lot of people are like local, so they don't want to be like, oh, Hannah Barlow edits my photos because I'm local, and they don't want their clients reaching out to me directly. So it's kind of like a confidential. I don't advertise it unless it's my own photos. But the reason that I learned that I'm so good in Photoshop is because when I was brand new, I was doing everything the hard way by hand. Because I didn't know that there was another program that most photographers – so I was like, oh, photographers use Photoshop. So I was learning like step by step like detail editing that took me forever, individual images one at a time. Oh, my God. Looking back, I'm like, what? I was not it.
You're like, what was my life?
But it benefits me now because I'm really, really good in Photoshop. But what – photographers use a program called Lightroom. Almost all photographers use a program. It's this Adobe makes it just like Photoshop, but you edit the majority of your photos in Lightroom. What?
Nice.
Yeah. And you can batch edit. Like if you have like all the ceremony photos can be batch edited together and you might just have to go in individually and like tweak them. But there's no two points in me mentioning this. With Lightroom, when you put your photos on your hard drive, and people are probably like, where is she going with? When you put them on your hard drive, Lightroom recognizes where you put them. So like, let's just say I put them on my desktop. The original files are on my desktop. Lightroom's going to say, okay, we're going to edit from the photos in the folder on the desktop. What most photographers or who are new, myself included, don't realize is that if you move that folder from your desktop to an external hard drive, or I don't know where you're moving it to. If you open up Lightroom, Lightroom's going to tell you that those files cannot be found. That they don't exist. And they're going to show you previews. And a lot of photographers think they lost weddings. Again, in the photography groups, people will come in going, oh my God, I was editing this wedding 2 weeks ago. Everything was going great. And now Lightroom says it doesn't exist. Like, I've lost this wedding. What do I do? Well, the first question a lot of us veterans ask is, did you move that folder? And they're like, well, I already told my couple I lost the wedding. I'm like, why? Why would you do that until you know? For sure.
They just freaked out and were like, this is what we're doing. Yes, I'm like, no, don't do that. Don't
ever tell people that until you know for sure that they're gone. You have to do.
Don't create panic when panic is not necessary. Right.
They don't realize that they moved it because it was slowing down their computer or their husband moved it because he was cleaning up the hard drive. You just need to tell Lightroom where you moved it to. They're not actually gone. You just say, hey, this is actually where the folder is now. And Lightroom's like, great. Another reason I bring up Lightroom is because people are like, oh, well, they'll just Photoshop it out. Oh, well, they'll just Photoshop this or they'll just fix this. The majority of photographers that I know don't actually know how to use Photoshop. They know how to use Lightroom. They edit in Lightroom, and that's why I get hired as a third-party editor. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because a lot of people will hire with the intention of they know one photographer like me who posts pictures of where I Photoshop whole people into a photo. You know, I just did a military family. Two of the brothers were deployed, and they asked me, can you Photoshop the brothers into the photo, the family photo? Yeah, absolutely. I can do that. Most photographers cannot and have to hire a third-party editor. So, you know, if they're – I don't know why you would think ahead of time that you're going to need things Photoshopped. Maybe you have a really, like, big surgical scar that's visible or, I don't know, pimples, you know, whatever it can be. If you know ahead of time that you're going to need a photographer that knows how to do that work, maybe that's a question you could ask them and be like, hey, you know, I've had couples that, you know, have chest scars. They had to have open heart surgery. And they're like, I know it's there in real life because I have a firm. I don't like to Photoshop things that are there in real life. A pimple is one thing because it's not there all the time. It's right. Temporary. Once you start Photoshopping things that people know are there, then they know you've retouched the photo and they wonder what else you've retouched.
Yes.
But that really bothers them. So yeah, absolutely. I will Photoshop it out. If that's something you know you're going to need ahead of time, that's something to ask your photographer, because not everyone can just quote unquote Photoshop it out, if that makes sense, where I'm going with this. Like,
that makes sense.
Or at least they might be honest and they'd be like, no, I don't do Photoshop, but I have a third party that I hire out, that I subcontract out, that can do it. Almost every single wedding I do, at some point in the day, someone says, oh, she'll just fix it in Photoshop. And I always think in my head, like, do you really know what that means? Because I don't think most people do. You probably didn't. Did you know that there was a different editing software?
Yes. I did. I didn't know about Lighthouse.
Lightroom.
I obviously
Lighthouse.
Knew a little bit.
It's not a Lighthouse.
What did I just say? Come into my Lightroom.
Yes, it's a Lightroom. Not a Lighthouse. Lightroom.
See, this is how much I know about photography. No, I had no – I knew that there were programs that you all use, but I didn't know that it was like a one that was the most popular. I just always assumed it was Photoshop.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting better and better with all the AI stuff where you can like remove things using AI, but it's never going to be perfect. I don't know. That's my Lightroom. Photographers should know how to do things. Tangent, what's next on the list, Ashley?
Lighthouse.
You know,
I can't with you. Actually, I want to throw this in here because I
oh, no.
I had a deep conversation with another photographer that we both really like about second shooters. So I think we should talk about this really quickly because that's also a big thing at the beginning of the booking process.
Yes.
And we've talked about it before, but I think it's like an even bigger topic when you're hiring. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many misconceptions about second shooters.
Yes, let's do it because that was on my list and that's just a great segue. Let's do it. Tell me your thoughts, your conversations, all the things.
I do not think you should be hiring a photographer based on if they have a second shooter or not.
Yes, preach.
That's like my number one. You are hiring your photographer because you like their photos. Their second photographer is just their aid, their help on that day.
Yes.
They are not going to shoot like your photographer is going to shoot. If your photographer should technically not just be sending their second shooter to get your groomsmen and groom and or your couple, your other couple's shots, he or she should be literally doing all of those photos as well. Absolutely, the second shooter is there to get the additional shots, but they should be, and I feel this really strongly, going to every moment as well because they are your photographer.
Yes.
So they should be getting all those moments. Yes. So when you have a photographer that's like, oh, I have 2 second shooters, and sometimes I bring in like a third person, that for me isn't like, oh my gosh, they must be so great. They're like amazing because they have all this, all these people with them. That's actually kind of a little bit of a red flag to me, unless they offer different services like bottled water, champagne, a cooler that they bring, cold towels because it's hot. I mean, literally that type of service. I get the extra help. You love that.
Look, cold towel. I do. I laugh every time. Oh my God, look. We're going to do an entire blooper reel of these freaking AirPods coming out.
Literally.
Someone help me.
And we'll do like a YouTube video with like Hannah's AirPod falling out. And I'm like, her AirPod. I'll do a rap to it. Someone help me.
Okay.
You see how I feel also so strongly about that? And we actually really both felt strongly about it. So we both were just like, and like just saying, and he's a photographer. So he was even like, I just don't understand. Like he will get passed up because he's like, I don't have a second. I have an aide that will shoot with me. Yeah. But then we get into the whole situation where photographers promise a second shooter. And then I see them on community pages.
Or publicly because on their Instagram.
Publicly on their Instagram, but like literally like weeks before the wedding and being like, I need a second shooter. And I'm like cringing because I'm just like, you have said to this client that you were going to have a second shooter for them and you're out there publicly trying to find somebody. That's different when you're trying to hire. That's completely different. Say your second shooter that you've had for years upon years is literally having a baby.
Yeah.
You know, like what I'm experiencing
What I have gone through.
So, but when you see it consistently with a certain photographer, that's a huge red flag for me. So don't hire someone based on a second shooter scenario. It's just, honestly, it's not needed a lot of the time.
So, and that is a privilege of ours to see the crap. Again, I don't curse, but I want to say something else. The crap that we see behind the scenes that we don't tell our clients, because at that point when they've hired the person, it is too late and we are not going to ruin anything because by saying something, there's no point. But there were so many weddings that I used to get passed up on because I didn't have a second shooter. I am perfectly capable of shooting an entire wedding by myself. Do I want to? No. My second shooters are better assistants to me than they are second shooters, meaning they are second shooters. They shoot the other angle at the ceremony. They can shoot what I need them to shoot. I have also trained them from the ground up. So, you know, you had mentioned they're not going to take the same style of photos. They will for me because I literally, when I go through galleries, when they're training, because they don't just come with me on a wedding day and get turned loose. Like they train with me as the third person with my other second shooter who literally trains them like any other job. Then when I go through the gallery and I look at their photos, those first couple of weddings as the third person are just practice. I don't, like I tell them, don't stress about it because my other second shooter who is a veteran second shooter who knows me and my style is actually going to be the second shooter. Yours are for practice. Then they get video, like screen record critiques of next time, this is what I want you to do. You know, like I know you've seen the Dutch tilt, which is like the camera sideways on the internet. I don't do that. Don't do that. Like we need everything to be straight. I'm going to straighten it anyways. So I need the canvas and I need the room. Like, you know, always wear black because we don't want color cast. Like I go through everything with them. But at the end of the day, they are still more important to me to change batteries, to set up my lights, to organize family, to fix the dress, to fix the veil, to be my peripheral vision and my second set of eyes so that my job is just photos. All I really have to worry about is making sure it's good light, that the couple is happy, that, you know, the photos are going to turn out. And while I'm paying attention to camera settings and light glare and glasses glare, and everything else, they're like, hey, Hannah, did you notice that like his boutonniere is falling off? No, I didn't. Thank you for telling me. Like they're noticing that the couple are looking really heated and starting to get pretty sweaty. She's like, hey, Hannah, you want me to go to the car and get him some water? Should we take a break? Let me get the groom's jacket off. You know, like he doesn't look so good. Let's get his jacket off. And they'll suggest that things are like the beautiful, like the back of the dress, the eye hook isn't hooked anymore and the zipper's starting to come down. Like little things like that that I have to have someone at a wedding with me because that is part of my experience. I can take 100% of the photos myself if I have someone who has my back for all the other things, if that makes sense. And like you said, you know.
No, that makes all the sense.
Having another photographer and sending them to another, you know, to get the guys getting ready, that's fine. And a lot of the times, like, the husband-wife teams who are photographers, like, they obviously work together all the time. They probably are capable of doing that. But anyone who is going to hire someone whose second shooter is just as good as them is going to be very expensive. because that second shooter's quality.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you want someone that's with me that's going to be able to shoot the entire day separately from me, it's going to be a lot of money because I'm going to have to pay someone else who is also a primary shooter, who is accustomed to being the primary person to guide people, direct people, take the photos. And I'm still going to have my assistant with me who is going to shoot the other angles of the ceremony because we have a system. How often I hear, yes, like, especially with video, you know, teams, and I'll be with the second person at the guys getting ready, and they're like, Hannah, like, why does my camera so dark? Why? And I'm thinking in my head, like, you don't actually know how to use this camera, and they're texting or they're doing this or that, and I'm like panicking inside and trying to help them. Or like when I was a second shooter, they never sent me off by myself because I was still a newer photographer. Most second shooters are newer photographers, so it's scary if you're hiring, yes, them based on a second shooter and expecting them to be able to shoot independently all day. You're probably not going to realize how much they don't know. And that's scary. And it happens the majority of the time. Absolutely. And I can say that confidently because, again, we see the private community posts. We see what happens behind the scenes. We work alongside them. It's a scary world out there.
We work at the wedding. I mean, not you, but I work at the weddings where I see photographers, worked with photographers that have second shooters that, like, so I've gone into a wedding and literally they're like, I don't know who that person is. And I'm like, wild. Like, I can't. I'm like, hey, girl, nice to meet you. Welcome to the gang gang. Here we are. Like, we're going to make, yeah, this work. Like, it just makes me, like, laugh that, like, this happens and the couple has no idea. And I'm just, yeah, sitting here like, we're all, yeah, good. Like, we're going to get this figured out. Like, let them do what they got to do. It's going to be amazing. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a little scary sometimes when they don't know each other. And she's like, it was, like, prime example. She had to hire another primary shooter because the couple wanted basically just as quality shots as, right, hers. So it was just obviously more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if I – and again, like, I can't – if I had to – and it's never happened. But if I had to hire another primary photographer because, like, they really wanted, like, groom prep plus formals and they were clear across town like 45 minutes and we couldn't make it work, I would hire your photographer, Carrie White. Not only because her photos are very close to mine in the bright and the color, and I used to second shoot mentor under her. Our personalities are a lot the same. So if the couple's looking for that same kind of energy, they're going to get it from her. I actually just referred her out for a wedding the other day. I was chatting with her, yes, because the couple really wanted me, but I was booked. I was like, the closest I'm going to be able to get you to my style, yeah, and my energy is going to be Carrie White. So I'm going to call her and see if she's available. She wasn't available, but I tried. I can't hire a second shooter who is a dark and moody photographer because the way they're going, right, to photograph with the shadows, in the shadows, without the glowy light, all the things, I'm never going to be able to edit the photos to match mine. It's just not possible. And that's not something that you can understand unless you're a techie person or a photographer. But it's just a scary world out there. Do, yes, not hire people based on whether or not they have a second shooter. Like, I don't know. I almost think that if they don't have, no, a second shooter, that says more about them, that they're confident that they can photograph a whole wedding day without someone. I don't know. I just know that that's a huge... I think it's Pinterest. I think it's these articles that convinced people that you need a second photographer. I don't know.
Yeah, it's become such a thing. I don't hear as much because now it's just like, well, if they don't have a second shooter, I'm not even considering. Right. But like they don't even realize what a second shooter does. Correct. I don't think. I think that knowledge, correct, is not out there.
Right.
And so people are just like, why, yeah, do I want the second shooter? Or maybe you're being a little bit taken in. I'm not going to speak for that, all but, right, like, I'm going to say, you know me, I'm going to say it like it,
yeah,
is.
I know.
Maybe that's a way for people to charge more because they're like, ooh, I have two second shooters with me.
Yeah.
And it might be like their cousin that, like, literally, yeah, they hang out with on the weekends anyways that's tagging, yeah, along. I'm just saying, sorry, y'all.
No, it's a great point because I hear it all the time, especially from friends, because, you know, I have a no friends and family policy. So a lot of the friends and family come to me and they tell me their wedding day stories. And a lot of the times I hear, yeah, they paid for a separate second shooter, but she just stood in the corner the whole time. Like, she never actually, like, separated off and took pictures. And I'm like, well, what do you mean, like, she paid? Because, like, I don't charge extra for my assistant second shooters. That's something I want with me at my wedding because it makes me better at my job. I'm less stressed. Man, those pandemic times when I couldn't bring an extra person with me because we were limited to like 25 people, I was sweaty and stressed because I'm not used to having to lug my bag. And it sounds like my assistants and second shooters are slaves. Please know that I pay them very well and that they keep coming back because I'm not a terrible boss. It sounded like,
hey, we did those micro weddings together. They're no joke. They were intense. They were just as intense as the big weddings. And that,
that's when I was like, I just cannot do this without help. And again, I'm like, they're carrying my bags and they're getting me water and they're yes, that's what they do. But they know that going in and it
they're doing my hair.
Oh God, I know. They're fixing me. They're getting my coat. No, don't let.
I'm dead right now.
But no, don't hire someone based solely on whether or not they have a second shooter. We are going to get some hate for this episode. But the majority of the time, I don't think you get what you pay for. If you're paying for, like if you're writing an extra check for a whole other second shooter, you better ask, are they going to be able to go with the guys and photograph independently? Are they going to be able to do the formals of the men while we're doing the formals of the women to save time because we're not doing a first look and cocktail hour is only an hour? Like, I think if they're asking you to pay extra money and write an additional check, those are the questions that you should be asking. Agree? Yeah. No.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you are adamant on like you want them to have a second shooter, like I think you should just come with your ammunition, like questions on like what that second shooter does, what's their quality, what's their caliber, where's their work.
Because there's
– if they're charging you an obscene amount.
Right, because there's no addition – like
– for another
shooter.
There's
no additional charge for me to bring my assistants with me. That's built into the package. They're, you know, they're built in.
Same.
So, I mean – I don't know. And on the flip side of that, I knew it was coming. Film photography. People offering film.
Oh, yeah.
So I just had an inquiry the other day and I'm pretty sure I lost the booking because I haven't heard back. They were dead set on, we're interested in film too. And I'm like, and I emailed back honestly, and maybe I shouldn't have. I don't know. But in today's day and age,
Hannah's too honest. No,
I told her, I said, honestly,
Hannah's like, I don't know what they're talking about. I've never heard of it.
I actually have a film camera, but like film is just true film is what it is. Like, we're going to have to take the time. You can't see the pictures ahead of time. So you have to take the time to make sure your exposure and your settings and everything is set. And then, you know, film developing and whatever, you know, those of you who are our age, elder millennials, like you remember taking your cameras to Rite Aid 1 hour developing, like you have to find a place that will develop your film. Not Rite Aid. Sorry for the name drop, but like there's professional labs that actually do professional film printing now. Like it is what it is. If your eyes are closed, your eyes are closed. Like there's nothing you can do. So you have thoughts.
I'm sorry. Explain. No, I'm just because I think people are like, since this is still very new, explain this film movement. Like explain what this is.
So I honestly
like what this trend is.
That's what I was going to say. I truly believe it's a trend. I would love for someone to explain it to me because any digital photo that we take can be edited to look like film. There's like presets and there's – so any photo that I – and that's what I had told – that's what I was getting to. And I had told her in the email, you know, I had asked like, you know, what exactly about film are you drawn to? Like what are your expectations with film photography? Because any photo that I take can be made to look like film. It's more muted colors. It's grainier. More what you're used to seeing, like the photos that were printed in the 80s and even the 90s when digital was kind of starting to come in. Because any digital photo that you can take can look like film. And again, like when it comes to actual film photography, you can do that, but there's no guarantee for those photos. So maybe it's the allure of that, but I don't think anyone's going to be excited about a photo with your eyes closed. Or I truly think it's a trend right now. It's something you're seeing online. But again, like you can go on any of these popular social media websites and pull up a like an effect and make your video look film. Maybe we're just showing our age. We're both in our late 30s and maybe we don't understand. Someone explain it to me. What is the
– Well,
I don't – So you're going to get 20 –
Wait, you know who's going to be able to tell us this? JT in a future episode. JT is going to be able to tell us about this. I have a feeling he's going to know.
Because he's a cool kid.
The photographer that we worked with at a – he is a cool kid. The photographer that we worked with at a previous wedding, she did a whole thing that she tagged me on Instagram. She's like, film. And I'm like, what is this film? Like, I don't know if this is. I'm like, thanks for tagging me. I don't know what this is. Like, I'm sorry, but it's a trend. Like, it's going to go here by the next 6 months. It's
going
to be gone.
I don't know. Like, and I even told her, I'm like, I can bring my old film camera. It's from the 80s. It was my dad's. I'm like, we can bring that. You guys can take pictures of each other. And like, I was trying to like brainstorm and then I never heard back. So she was probably like, you are not it. You are too old.
Hannah's like, we can do this and we can do that. And she's like, this girl doesn't know what she's talking about.
And I know.
Because you and I actually are trying to figure it out.
Like, I can do it. But I can also do it on my good 2023 camera and make it look like film.
Make it make sense. I don't know.
Make it make sense for us. I'm excited to hear JT when we talk to him. What he thinks about this. We're like, these old millennials, he's like, you goobers, like, it's this. And we're like, oh, okay.
I think he's cool. Closer to our age. I feel like he's closer to our age, so it might be the blind leading the blind, but we're going to ask
him. I feel like he's cool.
He's a cool kid, for sure. We're going to find out. He's a city kid, too, so we're going to find out what this is all about. Oh, what are we doing?
And if you need it or not, and we'll be honest with you if you need this or not, because I'm going to be honest with you, it's probably a no for me.
I don't know. But speaking of...
What's LR catalogs?
Lightroom catalogs. That's what I was talking about. Lightroom catalogs. We covered that already. But what I was thinking when we were talking about film in dark and moody photographers, if you have really spent a lot of time, and I shouldn't even say dark, that's not fair for me to keep bringing up the dark and moody photographers. Let's talk about the really light and bright ones, like the ones that the photos are like, the whites are pushed as far as the whites can go. There's no sky left. The greens are as light as the greens can possibly be. That's more of the light and airy is what we called it for about like the last 10 years. If you're someone who has truly fallen in love with your color palette, and the colors being true to life is very important, make sure you look at their feet. Like, because a lot of the styles, especially, I don't want to keep going back to the dark and moody people because it's not always true. Let's talk about the ones that do like more orange. Like everything has an orange hue to it. They are draining the colors in post-processing and editing. They are pushing the colors one way or another. If you really want your photos to be true to life, that's something you need to take into consideration when scrolling their Instagram, their websites, and things like that. Because, again, going back to Lightroom, if they are a newer photographer, I was the same, and they don't have the experience to know how to manipulate colors in a really tricky ceremony location or reception location, and sometimes you can't control it at all. Like, sometimes it is what it is. You're not going to get – like the bridesmaids' dresses may not be the correct color. And I've even had couples be like, hey, these bridesmaids' dresses aren't exactly right. And I would have never known how to fix them 8 years ago. I know how to get really close now. I've taken classes. I've done color management. I can figure it out. But I know I also see on a lot of the groups clients complaining – here's an example of my wedding photos. The bridesmaids' dresses are actually pink, but they're photographing orange. And my photographer said there's nothing she can do about it. If I wanted orange bridesmaids' dresses, I would have had orange bridesmaids' dresses. And then I look at the photos and I'm like, this is just because the photographer's using a preset that adds a lot of orange and it shifts all red, pink. His AirPod fell out again. More bloopers. I can't. I got to get better headphones. But, you know, they've pushed all the reds, pinks, purples, all those colors to the orange slider, to the orange side in Lightroom. They might not know how to get the color back because it's a preset. It's a preset click that automatically grabs the color. The computer's really smart nowadays, and they don't know how to manipulate each individual color channel. Now, that's super techie, but again, if you have pink bridesmaids' dresses and you're scrolling their site and there's not any pink or red to be seen, you might want to ask that question. Like, what happens when you photograph red or pink dresses? Hey, are they going to be orange? Hopefully.
Yeah. Are you like more of an orange hue? This right. is a big thing. Because I see more orange hue than I see any other right. color that I like notice. Maybe blue. Actually, I had one where I noticed a lot of green. I was like, why is everything so green? Yeah. Everything's green.
You can add green. So it's just like I recently learned how to turn a completely green tree fall. I took a micro class last fall, oh. and I learned how to take, like, because, you know, October's hit or miss whether we're going to get fall weddings or not. And I learned how to take a very green tree and make it fall, make it orange. You can do that. However, if you have green bridesmaids dresses in the fall and you're expecting to make the trees fall, but the green dresses stay green, you can't do that without extensive Photoshop work. Because it changes, it doesn't pick and choose. Wow. It does the whole photo.
It does the whole thing. You can't, yeah. You're basically saying you can't manipulate it to just like right. be the dress in that photo. It has to be the whole right. photo.
Or you pull, I mean, it's again, that's wild. It's getting better and better. But basically you're just telling the program, any green in this photo, I want you to change to this. So if the dresses tend to be the same as the trees, it's going to grab the dresses too. And again, you can do it in Photoshop. And I'm sure Lightroom's getting better and better every day. You can do it in Photoshop, but you have to know how to separate those layers, the brushes, brush just the trees, not the dresses, all the things. It gets very complicated. And if you want your photographer to do that on every single photo, it's going to be very expensive. And now we are panicking everyone.
And everyone's like, oh my gosh. No, I mean, it's just simple. Like you said from the very beginning, you need to look at their work. And if you like all of their work, then you don't have this issue.
Right.
You just trust that what you're seeing is exactly what you're going to be getting.
Right. And another thing to consider that I've noticed is that a lot of photographers anymore don't offer anything but digital images. They don't offer prints. They don't offer albums.
I saw that. Albums. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
So if that's something that you know,
that's right, becoming the new thing they do not offer.
Right. It's a lot of extra work on the back end. And anymore with all these public sites that allow you to do things yourself, it's just more, don't come at me, it's just more budget friendly and cost effective to do it yourself as the couple. Like instead of paying, I mean, my albums start at $450. Because I have to charge to make a little bit of profit. And I'm still not making that much because it's so expensive on my end to get a professional album created. It's just easier, but you're not going to get – unless you know how to build your graphic design or you know how to edit and make sure Uncle Jim's arm doesn't get cut off when they cut the album for printing. It's a get what you pay for type of thing, but most couples are willing to do that. So I think that's why a lot of photographers don't offer it, because it's just – unless you hammer down, it's not worth the return on your investment to offer that. So turn over the digitals, tell the couples good luck, and then they print their own. I offer both options.
Yes.
You can get prints and products through me. A lot of my packages have it built in, so you don't owe me any money after the fact. They are paid for once your wedding comes because it's part of the package. I actually owe you the product. One thing to consider is if you do want prints and products and they're not built into the package or they are built into the package, I would definitely ask, like, is there an additional cost after the fact? Because in-person sales, a lot of companies, that's their marketing strategy and how they make money. So you pay for your session fee, your wedding fee, and then once you go into the studio, they upsell you. You know, like, okay, this is what the album started at, but now you have to add additional things or whatever it may be. And you have to pay for these separately. So that's something to, you know, consider, like, am I going to owe you money afterwards? In my case, it's no. You know, what is included in the packages is included.
It's in your package.
If you want to add stuff on, you want to customize your album even more than what is already included, then yes. But I don't – that's not something that's required. Some photographers are like, you paid for the wedding, you have to spend X amount of dollars on prints or album before you even get your digitals. And they didn't like research that ahead of time or read the contract, or maybe it wasn't in the contract. Read your contracts, people. Question things if it doesn't make sense. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that you offer both. And I think I see a lot of photographers that I work with have that option. Like, not have the option of the album, but they have like different things that come with different packages, right. Which I think is nice because that just gives you variety and you have not right. all couples are alike.
Right. And I think that I don't know. My business coaches and stuff are like, you're not doing it correctly. And I'm like, I know, but I give my couple of public lab options that they can use if they just cannot afford it. I mean, things are just so expensive right now that it's not my business strategy to be like, nope, you have to print things through me. But usually when I do offer the public lab options, I do like add a little disclaimer like, hey, I have no way of contacting customer service at this lab. I have no way to guarantee what you're going to get. You know, you have to check to make sure that, you know, when you added it into like a 10 by 10 square print, that nothing gets cut off on the edges, because I don't take the photos and deliver them in square. They're rectangle. You know what I mean? So things can get cut off, yes, once you add them into a square. Like, I can't guarantee anything. And usually when you say that to people, it's not a trick. It's the natural truth. They're like, oh, you know what? The ones that I hang on my wall, I'm going to have you do. Because I do guarantee them. If something comes back not correct, I 100% will reprint them, and I eat that cost. That's no cost to them. So it's part of
what I offer. To know. There's a lot of back end of that you don't. Yeah.
And that's... like my...
Honestly, I feel like the album is nice because how many – like, I got digital prints only because I'm one of those people that I'm like, yeah, oh, I'll just print. Right. No, there's not a picture out here in this
and
house.
The albums, you know, do you ask – if you have your heart set on a wedding album, ask them, do I design it? Do you design it? You know, do I get to choose which photos go in it? Do I get to make revisions if I don't like it? And everyone is going to do it differently. I know that the majority of people will limit you on revisions. They'll say, yeah, you get like 3 revision sessions, meaning you can come back 3 different times and ask for changes. But after that, you're done. And I used to do that. And then I went through a website build experience that was like that, where I had 3 revisions. And once I got to the 3rd one, I was so panicked because it still wasn't exactly like I wanted it, but like, that was it. Whatever decisions I made, that was it. And I was done. And I just remember hating that feeling. So I actually revised it so that like, you have unlimited revisions with me. And people are like, oh, well, Hannah, now
that's nice.
You spent all these hours that like you're not being paid for, which is true. But I just like, I've had couples that take 6 months of back and forth. And then I have other couples that approve it on the first round, you know? So ask those questions, ask, you know, do I get charged more for adding more photos? Some people, you just pick your favorite photos. They build the album for you. And that is it. I think a personality, you know, what is your personality?
I feel like that is, I don't know. I feel like that might be the majority, because you're like, okay, I know I love these photos, so I'm just going to love that they're all in the album.
So it's,
but you have a couple that has like a lot of design background that's really intense about the album.
And all my couples are different. So I do it the same way with all couples. They, you know, get, I design it for them ahead of time, just because no one knows where to start with an album. And then they go in and they can comment on my album software or come to the studio and be like, change this to this and move this over here. And we go back and forth until they think it's perfect. And then we print it. So that's how we do that. Nice. And then one last thing before we get into Q&A, quote unquote, natural light photographers. I used to call myself a natural light photographer.
Can they use that flash?
Yeah.
I remember you saying that, which is like wild to me, because I've only seen you shoot in flash. Like, as far as like, I don't know. I just saw you see you flash.
Yeah. So. And I don't use it all the time. Like, I definitely don't use it during the ceremony. No. And I know like a lot of people will use flash in the church. I am firm. There's only, I think, 2 weddings ever that I set up flash. And it was because one was because we got pulled into a dark barn because it was raining and they were supposed to have it outside. And like, there was no light. There was none. Like, the photos were not going to turn out if I didn't set up big like flashes on stands. And I told them that ahead of time. And I said, I'm just going to shoot slow, so it's not a rave. Flash, 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 flash.
It's like,
I'm just going to get all the important moments. They knew ahead of time, but I'd never use it in a church. I don't know. It's such a distraction to have those lights going off the whole time. But the reason I say when I called myself a natural light photographer as a wedding photographer, it was a way of me saying, I don't know how to use flash. Which, if regular photographers, that's fine. Wedding photographers, you need to know flash a little bit, because there are going to be instances where you get yourself in some tricky situations. My personal opinion, where in order to produce work that's consistent, you're gonna need flash. If I didn't use flash in church basements and corners of churches when they're getting ready, not ceremony, dark, rainy days, could I produce good photos? Absolutely. Would they look light and bright and have beautiful catch lights in their eyes and look like the rest of my photos? No, they would not. They would be shadowy, dark, beautiful photos, but they wouldn't look like Hannah Barlow photography photos, if that makes sense.
Yes. No, that definitely makes sense. I was going to say, I think we've talked about this before. I had a wedding. I'm not going to say when it was, but the photos were so good outside. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my gosh, these photos mm-hmm. are amazing. I love – it was kind of like that muted look, but not so yeah. muted. It was like an in-between. Mm-hmm. It was kind of light and muted. And I was like, well, this is cool because I feel like I don't see that often. And then we got inside, and I'm like, I can't use any mm-hmm. of these in my portfolio. Like, the inside mm-hmm. did not look good at all. It looked like it was two different yeah. photographers. So I'm guessing that's what you yeah. mean by natural light.
Mm-hmm. She yeah.
And then when they came indoors and you need a flash. Yeah.
So she or he could definitely expose a photo and create their style outside in the good natural light. But when you get inside, they were still using natural light, meaning you're using the light that's available to you that is naturally there, but it was probably a very dark space, and so the photos aren't consistent. And maybe the couple probably doesn't know any better, and you're not going to say anything, so it's perfectly fine. But that's why sometimes asking for full galleries of the venue, or just full galleries in general, like if they don't have on their website any reception photos, ask them if you can see a full gallery or
red flag.
Yeah, because why are they not showing that stuff? I don't know.
And it may not bother you. You might be like, I'm good right. with whatever you get right. of the reception. Say you're not spending all this money on decor right. and aesthetic and things like that. You might be like, no, my big deal is all my photos outside. Yeah. Then, yeah, I feel like a natural light is for you.
And I'm going to get a lot of hate comments in the DMs for saying that, but I was there. I was there calling myself natural light photographer. If you're a wedding photographer, you can be a natural light photographer, meaning you like to use natural light and that's your vibe. But on a wedding – it's so risky not being able to, I mean, back yourself. What if it's rainy and thunderstorming and you have a light and bright style and that's what your couple is expecting? An off-camera flash can create the fake light and still look natural. I want everyone to know, go on my website right now. The majority of the photos that you see, even outside, have flash. They do, because I don't want shadows under my eyes and chin.
Right. Right.
I know.
So while we're talking about this, I guess we'll go back to like my biggest question for you is when you do have couples that come to you, because I have this a lot and I know you have to, like the blurry picture photo, the film photo, like I saw this on Pinterest. I want to do this. Like,
yeah.
I know that you're like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, let's try it out. We'll do one or two like that. If not, yep. we're going to be here like all day.
Yep.
8 hours trying to get the photo yeah. that you want. How do you approach that with like a couple being like in the nicest way possible that like you have yeah. a full wedding to shoot that day, but that you want to respect that they want yeah. that trend in their photo album?
So that's where my hatred for Pinterest comes in. And again, don't come at me. I have Pinterest. I have so many Pinterest boards. I can't count. But when it comes to wedding photography, some of these couples, they get their heart set on things that are just not possible or very difficult to do. So when I get requests like that, I always say, okay, we're going to do it. You want blurry photos? I mean, some photographers, if you're like, when I was new, I would have had to Google how to achieve that photo. Just like the first time I ever did cold sparklers at a reception, or I did sunset photos when they're lit by flash. Like any new photographer is going to have to Google and figure that out and practice. Nowadays, I would know how to do a blurry photo. I would have had to Google it before. Sparkler exits, I had to Google those the first time I ever did it, you know, or ask friends. So if you have a newer photographer, they're probably going to have to figure out how to do that. It's basically what's called dragging the shutter. You are just making your camera take a picture so slowly that it's catching all the movement, which creates a blur. That, you know, bridal party running around the couple does not move so that they look frozen in time and the bridal party is running around them. And because the camera is so slow to take a picture, it just blurs them, kind of like a ghost effect. I do that. So you'll never see it on my website. It's just not my style. So when couples ask me to do stuff aside from editing, I will never edit outside of my style. I can't, again. But when it comes to trendy photos that they've seen that they like, it might not be my taste, but I'm never one to say no to my couples. You know that. Like, you know, in the end, I am being paid to be here mm-hmm. and do a job. I'm going to do my job and try to fulfill any requests that they give me. So I do the trendy photos. I'll do the blurry photos. What's the recent one that came out that I was like, oh, God, it's going to happen. And I did it. I can't think of what it was. But I do it. I just don't blog it. I don't post it. And I tell people that I'm like, well, cause a lot of people will say like, have you ever done it? Cause we've never seen you post it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I've done it. I just don't advertise it cause it doesn't necessarily fit my style, but I can totally do it. I'll do it for you. And a lot of the times those are the ones the couples like love because they had their heart set on it. Those are the ones they print. I just don't show evidence of it because once you do that, it kind of becomes what you're known for, your style. And I am a firm one on like, I do what's in my heart so that my brand and my photography is very much me, genuine, you know, like predictable. I don't want to say predictable, but you know what I mean. Like when people hire me, they know what they're going to get. That's what I want to advertise.
Yes.
But yeah, ask me. I'll do it. I'll figure it out. If I absolutely can't do it, I'll let you know. But I don't know. Like the only one I can think of is people have wanted rainbow. And I'm like, well, it has to rain. I made the mistake of posting my like legit rainbow photo. And I'm like, it has to rain for us to get a real rainbow. And then I had a spring couple who asked me for like fall like photos. Like they sent me pictures with golden hour that lit the fall trees up. And I'm like, okay, tell me what you love about this photo. And then when I explained to them, like, you realize yes. this is a fall photo, right? And they were like, oh yeah, you're right. We just fell in love with like the light in like the moment. I'm like, okay, like fair. If we get that kind of light, we'll definitely run out and do the golden hour. But like, keep in mind, respectfully, the leaves are green. And then they, you know, they realized that that's what it was. I had a couple that like showed me like this starry fairy tale lights hanging in the air outside at night. And when they sent me the picture, I was like, look real closely at this photo. They're like, okay. I'm like, the majority of the lights in the foreground are photoshopped in. They weren't there in real life. They're like, oh, can you do that? I'm like, yeah. So I had to buy like an overlay or whatever, and we went out and like faked it. But I'm like, you don't have like hanging baskets and fairy lights in your tree. They did. So they were like, yeah, you're right. Let's just like do our own thing. And that's what we did. But sometimes it just takes an explanation of it's not reality.
Of like, hey, this is what this photo actually has. And if you want it, this is what we have to do.
And again, I don't post them. I usually don't post them just because I don't want it to become what I'm known for in a request at every wedding. Because it's not, it doesn't fit what the rest of my website looks like. I don't heavily Photoshop anything. So.
Yeah, I guess I do that too, to a degree. And maybe I'm assuming other vendors do it. Like if I do a ceremony site somewhere that necessarily really is not a good place to do it, I won't have it in my portfolio because I don't want it to be known that it can be done there because it wasn't easy. And the only reason it was is because they were willing to go through the hard part about for it to work out. Right. And I guess that kind of is the same kind of scenario.
Yeah.
Interesting. There's so much that goes into hiring a photographer. I feel like there's so much more
that we could
go into hiring a photographer than there is a wedding planner or coordinator. Like, it's just like, do you vibe with this person? Can they do everything that you need them to do? Done. Photographer, it's like, what kind of lighting do they have? Yeah. Do they offer albums? Mm-hmm. What do they, how do they back up? I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's just so much
and
to
I'm
think about.
So, I mean, I'm going to summarize all our points, but I'm excited for our next episode to talk to JT because I had a videographer at my wedding, but he wasn't. I think I got scammed. I think he brought his friend and said it was a videographer, and I don't, because it's just like start to finish cover, like it's not. And at one point, like it went black and white, and he was like, "Sorry about that." I'm like, "What?" Yeah, I can't. I don't know.
You're like, "Hi, I have a black and white film."
Yeah, part of my ceremony went black and white, and then like the color came back. I'm like, "Oh." Whatever. But I only know videographers from like when they show up at weddings and I meet them and talking to friends. Like, I don't know if I was hiring a videographer now, I honestly don't know what like all would go into it. Like, what questions should I be asking? So that's going to be fun. But summary of
That is going to be fun.
Summary of photographers. You are going to spend the majority of your wedding day with this person, sometimes more than your significant other if you don't do a first look. Fall in love with their photos. Make sure that you love their photos. Check your budget. Find the people you can afford. Make a list. Interview them. You know, make sure you, like you said, vibe with them. Make sure you like them. And then maybe ask the hard questions. If you're really on the – I mean, if one stands out to you and you're like, yes, I don't even need to ask the hard questions. This is the person for me. Hire them. But if you're like really like, photographer A, photographer B, I'm like struggling. How do I make a decision? Maybe ask the hard questions that we covered. I'm telling you, you ask hard questions, you're going to know right away whether they're the person for you, because you're either going to have someone that's like that – I'm not even letting them hire me. They're asking some ridiculous questions, which I think is a red flag. If they're upset that you're asking, do you have backup equipment? Yes. Do you have insurance? Even how do you dress on the wedding day? I don't know. Can I see a full gallery? If they're not willing to let you see a full gallery, that to me is make or break. Why? If they have all these galleries. Oh, because I have couples that don't want their photos to see the light of day, and I respect that. I have other couples, and I will always text a couple and be like, hey, I have a couple that – is getting married at your venue. Do you mind if I send them your full gallery? Because again, like you're putting all those photos in someone else's hands. Who knows what's going to happen to them? I always like to have written permission for my couples. I mean, that's extreme and I worry. But if a photographer is not willing to show you a reception gallery, like maybe you're like, can I just see some reception photos? And they're like, nah, it's not necessary. Oh, no, it's necessary. Why?
It's always necessary.
And then, you know, just talk contract, booking, how do I do this? When is money due? All the things. Go with the vibe. Go with the gut. The microbiome.
Yep. Go with your gut. It knows.
You know, so, you know, since you said microbiome on that website, I now hear it all the time in my podcasts. Like, because I listen to some like fitness podcasts.
Are you serious?
Now it's like popping up everywhere. I'm like, did I just not know this word before? Or is this some kind of like universal?
No, it's a thing. It's a thing for sure. When I had that chronic Lyme disease, they're like, you have to clean out your microbiome. And I'm like, what are you saying to me? Is that like at my house? Like I got to clean out? Is that a vent? Like, what are you talking about? Clean out my microbiome.
Oh my goodness.
Are you talking about my body? Oh, okay. We got that. Okay, cool.
All right. So I have a good Q&A. It's not a recent listener question and answer. It's something I saw in a group a while ago, and I'm like, this is perfect for a photography related podcast episode and you as a planner. So they said, I booked my photographer a year and a half ago, and I've recently noticed that my photographer's style is really starting to change since I hired them, and I really don't like this new style. Ooh. What do I do? And what that means is, before I have you answer, drama. Is like, let's say that I decided that I don't want my colors to pop anymore and that I want to be – I want to start shifting to the orange, the dark and moody, or maybe the very light and airy, where like every color is desaturated and muted and everything is kind of just a very dusty doll color palette. That's what we mean by the style is changing. So what do you say to your couple that calls you in a panic?
Man, I think you need to honor whatever you had before when you contracted them. So you need to reassure them that you're just trying out different styles, but you absolutely honor the style that they hired you at. Or if you're unwilling to backtrack and do the style that you've been doing because you're moving into a new space and you're like, I love this new style that I'm shooting in, then you need to refund everything back and help them find a photographer that's going to fit their style, because you decided to, as an artist, change your brand.
So if your couple calls you and they're like, Ashley, what do I do? I'm freaking out. I don't love the new style and the colors, and I'm so stressed, but I don't want to say anything. What should I do? Planner Ashley, help me. What do you advise them to do? Reach out?
Right away, we need to reach out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reach out to the photographer, set up like a Google Meet and just say, I just got to chat about some things. It won't be a long conversation. It'll just be like to ease some worry. And that photographer should absolutely hop on a call with you to discuss.
Yep.
Okay. No, it's just these past couple albums. I've been trying something new, but I'm absolutely like, I'm sure that's going to be the case, but sometimes it might not be. And in that case, you know, we have our work cut out for us to figure out, you know, what we can do. That's a scary situation. I've actually never had that.
Yeah. I think that because you're not a photographer, you haven't noticed, because we do have some local friends that did the same. It's not them who I was talking about. It was like a random comment in a photography group. But I've noticed a shift in some of our friends' styles. But it was gradual. So that's probably why you didn't notice, where I have my photography goggles on and I'm like, wait a second. Your white highlights are not pushed as far as they usually are. That's why I noticed that.
So what's going on here?
Yeah, but no, I think.
Are you going a little muted here?
Yeah. So I think from a photography standpoint, what's going to happen is that you should reach out to them and say, hey, I've noticed your style is changing. We really fell in love with the style that you were doing at the time that we booked. We just would like some reassurance that you'll still be able to produce that style. Now, a good professional photographer will be able to, and they're going to be like, yeah, no problem. I will edit the way, because usually it's just editing. That's usually all that it is. It's just the way that they're editing. And they'll say, yeah, no problem. Like, I still can edit. I mean, I edited that way for years. I can still edit. One of two things is going to happen. They're going to say, just be prepared that I'm not going to post your wedding, because that's no longer the style that I'm advertising. It's no longer the style that I'm offering. So I don't want to repost that in the middle of my shift and my change and confuse clients. Or they're going to say, yeah, absolutely. Your finalized gallery is going to be in my old style, because that's what you booked me for. But be prepared that I'm also going to re-edit some of my favorites in my new style and post those, so it matches everything else, if that makes sense.
No, that does make sense.
Which, you know, no problem, because that's a style they used to shoot in. And usually people don't really change the way they actually shoot on a wedding day. They might just change their editing. But if your photographer's like, no, absolutely not. This is my new style. This is new my new brand. And this is what you're going to get. Then we got to talk, because that's not what you hired that person for. That's not what you retained their services for when you paid a retainer or signed a contract. And that can get really sticky. But absolutely, don't let them walk all over you. You paid them for a certain product, service, and style. And that's what they should be able to deliver to you at the time of your wedding, regardless of what they're doing at that current time of your wedding, if that makes sense. They should be able to honor what you hired them for at booking. Tough conversations.
I agree. That's a tough conversation. And I hope nobody ever has to deal with that.
Oh, it happens. I'll start sending you screenshots.
I'm sure.
Ooh. All right. Do you have anything else to add to this episode?
No, this is a good one. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I hope.
I definitely did.
If you're freaking out, feel free to message us. Email, you know, Ashley's going to go over all that. You have your outro ready? You know, your intro ready. Are we ready to do this?
I'm ready. Put me on, Mr. DeVille. I'm ready for my close-up.
I think we're getting worse, not better. All right. You've been listening to another episode of What in the Wedding.
Please remember to follow/subscribe and leave us all those stars so we can start showing up as your recommended podcasts and suggestions for new listeners. If you have any topic suggestions, questions, freak out sessions, news stories you want us to talk about, or anything just in general, you can reach out to us on Instagram or email us at whatintheweddingatgmail.com.
She ad-libbed that whole thing, or she doesn't have a script that I have. All right. We will. All right, y'all. This episode has been something. I don't know. It's not the same words. All right. We will see you next time, everyone. Bye.
Bye.